Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders, who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burnt outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us, then, go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to bear with me word of exhortation, with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send their greetings. Grace be with you all.
Beloved people in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we've witnessed the installation of Brother Martin and Brother Vincent and Sister Kathy as office bearers. And in light of that, I want to particularly focus on verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 13. But before I do, I just want to say a few things about the book of Hebrews as a whole. One of the themes that runs through the book of Hebrews is the call for us as Christians to persevere in the Christian faith. And it also gives us warnings if we fail to do so. Let me give you a few examples. In chapter 2, verse 1, we read this. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Chapter 3, verse 12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Chapter 6, verses 11 to 12. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Hebrews 10, 35-36. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. So that's just a bit of a sprinkling, really, of the promises and the warnings in Hebrews. And then look at our chapter. I've also got a few of these on here. Verse 1, keep loving each other. Verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money. Verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Verse 9, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Verse 15, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Verse 16, do not forget to do good and to share with others. Verse 18, pray for us. And then our text, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for this would be of no advantage to you. It's been my experience, not only in the world, but also in the church, that we don't have a love affair with the word obey, or submit, for that matter. On the contrary, the opposite seems true in so many ways. From knee-high to a grasshopper, we are encouraged to stand on our own two feet and don't let anybody tell you what to do. But that, dear friend, is not the way of the church or the body of Christ. Let us understand that those who have been properly called and chosen to be in office have received their authority from the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the first reason why we obey and submit to our spiritual leaders. In fact, we just had it a minute ago, from verse 7, these office bearers have been used by the chief shepherd to bring the word of salvation to you, and we are called to consider the outcome of their way of life and to imitate their faith. So, I mean, as a leadership, elders, minister, elders and deacons, we have a tremendous responsibility. Verse 17 goes on to say that we are to keep watch over them, so over God's people. Some translations have watch over their souls, actually, as those who will give an account. In other words, as a leadership, when we are faithful in bringing the word of salvation to you, and we encourage you to obey and submit to that, we are doing so because we are concerned about your eternal salvation. That is at the forefront of our actions, our thinking, our praying. We will do whatever is humanly possible to help you persevere in the Christian faith. That's our goal. And we do so gladly, not only because we love the Saviour, not only do we love you and those of us who are saved by Christ, we wish to stand before the Saviour one day at the judgment day and say, Lord, here are the witnesses. We have done our task well. May you be pleased. We have to give an account of your spiritual welfare. How we have been of benefit and profitable to you, especially for your soul. Now, one way that we as leaders can do this is through our watchfulness. The Scriptures warns us that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Therefore, as leaders of God's people, we need to be vigilant. We need to be awake, watchful, doing what we can to care for your souls. Allow me to mention at least four areas where we can be watchful. First, we must always be alert to the accurate meaning and the preciousness and the truthfulness and the power of God's Word. Of all the people sitting here today, the office bearers are to watch that what is being proclaimed from God's Word is accurate, that it is upbuilding. It's interesting, you know, in ministry, what happens when people drift away from the Lord? What happens? Well, I'll tell you, the first thing that happens is that these people no longer come to listen to the Word of God, nor do they read it for themselves. And the task of us as leaders of the church is to help you pay close attention to that Word so that you will not drift away, that you will love the Word because it's the Word of salvation to you, that you will persevere in faith so that you will be saved unto eternal life. Second, spiritual leaders are to ensure that the Word focuses on Christ. That's ultimately what it's about. Hebrews 1 verse 2. But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. So in other words, brothers and sisters, you need to hear about Jesus Christ. It's what we're here for today. About the good news. We can talk about all sorts of things, of course, but that's primary. That's primary. Hebrews 3 verse 1 says a similar thing. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Hebrews 12, 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If we don't know about Jesus, we're wasting our time. I'm wasting my time. So that's what spiritual leaders do. We keep pointing you. Hey, look at the cross. Look at what Jesus has accomplished for us. Don't forget that. He died, He paid for your sins so that you believe Him and have eternal life. Don't forget. Hang on to it. Because in so doing, you will never be disappointed. Third, spiritual leaders need to watch their own conduct. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. We're not perfect. But we should endeavour to live in such a way that the members of the congregation can look at them and say, wow, as far as their faith is concerned, I want to be like them. That's our responsibility as office bearers. A direct implication of that is that spiritual leaders are more accountable to God for their behaviour than ordinary people, so to speak. And therefore we must watch our behaviour closely. We don't want people to, you know, say, well, forget about this Christianity, I've seen so-and-so in the office of elder and he doesn't live up to it. What's the point of me doing it? We don't want people to reject coming to worship or reject loving the Lord Jesus because of our poor example. Of course, we should all set godly and good examples, of course. But there are higher standards for leadership in the church. And that's why when leaders fail, it does such a great damage in the church. I was reading with interest this week about Rob Bell. You've heard of Rob Bell, what he calls here, the Numa series. But he wrote a book, Love Wins. I don't know whether you're aware of that book. And when he finished that book at Mars Hill, you know that 3,000 people left his church? It was heresy. 3,000 people left the church. And he had to resign because of it. Because of it. So it does great damage in the church when leaders are not faithful. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4 verse 16, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Please understand, that doesn't necessarily mean that we are the saviors of people. No, not at all. But our behaviour can be a blessing to people. Fourth, we need to watch the congregation. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And if the people of the congregation are to do that to each other, how much more so the leaders? That's why, fellowship functions and Bible studies and worship is so important. How can we as leaders know what people are struggling with? What they are dealing with in their lives if we don't know them? Watchfulness of the word, watchfulness that Christ has preached, watchfulness over our own life and doctrine, and watchful over the congregation. And why is this done? For your profit. For your benefit. That's the goal. What benefit? What profit does the author have in mind? Let me tell you what it isn't. Those who think that the benefit or profit here refers to material wealth and great physical health are sadly mistaken. When one reads the book of Hebrews, indeed when one reads the New Testament, that's not what is taught. What is taught is to persevere in the Christian faith. That is to your benefit, to your profit. Allow me to be more direct. What the author calls on is for people to persevere and continue to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they may grow in love for Him and in obedience to Him. That is profitable. Consider Hebrews 10, verse 39, if you will. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. That's our goal. You'll continue to love the Lord Jesus more and more, so that your soul will not be destroyed. That is profitable. Now, perhaps I should qualify it again a little. I know, and you know, that we are saved once and therefore we are forever saved. But there is such a thing as perseverance of the saints. And that occurs not only the moment the Lord calls you into His kingdom, but to persevere is a call for every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. Mark 13:13 says, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. That's the message of Hebrews. And that, brothers and sisters, makes ministry serious. And it makes leadership a serious thing. And that means that all messages and all meetings are to be, how can I put it, salvation-centered. All sermons, all devotions, all Bible studies, all Sunday school meetings should have one central aim. Love the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That's the aim. That's profitable. It's profitable. Hold on to Christ with everything you have. That's profitable. Flee from sin and evil. That's profitable. Watch out for your marriage. That's profitable. Now, if an office bearer, anyone really, but particularly office bearers, comes alongside of you on a Sunday or midweek and says to you, how is your walk with the Lord going? Don't say MYOB. For those who are not tech savvy, don't say mind your own business. It is his business. It is their business. Because they care for your soul. Your perseverance in the faith is their concern. Your soul hangs on it. Now, congregation, when the leaders do their task well and we allow them to do it well, then their work will be a joy and not a burden. Because if it's a burden to them, it would be no advantage, no profit to you at all. In other words, if you don't obey and you don't submit to their authority and reject their authority as office bearers, it would be unprofitable to you. You know, this is a bit of an aside here. You know that in most churches, in most denominations, there is an increasing difficulty in finding office bearers for the church. You approach for, oh no, not for me. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. You know what the reason is? They never receive any encouragement. The first thing people do is criticize what the minister did or what they've done or whatever. Sad, isn't it? It's sad. And the interesting thing is, it's a loss for the church. Their giftedness, their talents are no longer used for the building up of the church, Christ's body. Sad. Sad. Brothers Martin and Vincent and Kathy, we pray that you may be blessed by the Chief Shepherd as you do your work here amongst us. And we pray that it will be for His glory, and we pray that we may encourage you and that your work will be a real joy amongst us. And we pray that, because context is important, we pray that when your work is done, your service is done, that you will have a clear conscience, and then you can stand before the judge and he will say to you, well done. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the book of Hebrews, for its encouragements and also for its warnings. And Lord, again we pray for the office bearers that you have placed in this church and in other churches, but particularly here, that you would equip them, that you would bless them, and that their work may be a real joy. And Lord, we pray that they may work for the benefit of your people, that they may say things and do things that is profitable for our very souls. And may your name be glorified and honored by them and through them. Hear our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.